Hey everybody, Jim Minery here on I'm Glad You Said That. Thanks so much for tuning in. And as always, we want to thank our friends over at, actually, John and Sandy Powers. They're not over anywhere. They're just two people that are very supportive of the show, our sponsors, and we couldn't do it without them. Thank you, John and Sandy Powers. Very grateful for you keeping I'm Glad You Said That on air, whether you're listening to it on radio station or any of the podcasts that you have. We appreciate it. Spread the word. I think we reached 7,500 downloads. That's a big thing for us. We're grateful that you're listening, and we're excited for you to be a part of the show. If you haven't been to Alaska Family Council's website, it's akfamily.org, and we're listener supported, meaning that this show is only possible through folks like John and Sandy Powers who help the show, as well as funds from Alaska Family Council that are only from individuals like you who believe that we need to have a voice in the public marketplace of ideas regarding the intersection of faith and politics and the two things you're not supposed to talk about in polite company, we always say, and that's, of course, what we focus on. Today's topic is going to be fascinating because it is about school choice and a lawsuit that's been filed against the correspondence program. My guest is Bethany Markham. She's a good friend, and she heads up the Alaska Policy Forum, and you can go to alaskapolicyforum.org and sign up for their stuff. Turns out the Heritage Foundation recently released, I think it was a couple days ago, their education report card, and lo and behold, Alaska ranked 45th overall and is in the bottom 10 states for having the least amount of educational choice options. And one of those that we do have in place, we don't have educational savings accounts. We don't have any kind of voucher program. We do have a profoundly robust homeschool program, thanks to Lauren Lehman of the past decades that worked so hard for that, and Fred Dyson. But we also have this correspondence program. It's partly, if not solely, due to the work of former Senator, now Governor, Mike Dunleavy. And it's basically a correspondence program that provides opportunities for families to who aren't comfortable with the public school system being the best opportunity for their kid. They can utilize this correspondence program to send their kids to private schools, religious schools, doesn't matter. They can't be for religious instruction. But what it can be is for classes and courses and things like taekwondo and elective courses and regular classes, math, science, English, that best suit the needs of their kids. And there's been an explosion of individuals and families across the state that have taken advantage of that. I think there's 37 of them now, correspondence school programs. And, the reality is that they are exploding for a reason, these kinds of programs, not just because of COVID and finding out about the nonsense that's being taught in terms of the LGBT, CRT nonsense that is truly confusing kids and bringing lawsuits across the country, actually, to school districts that are withholding information from parents. But that's not the only reason. I mean, I guess in my view, the reason why private education and public correspondence programs and charter schools have exploded is because one size does not fit all. And so, you know, Senator Mike Dunleavy at the time, was introduced legislation that ultimately wanted to delete the line in our Constitution that says no money shall be paid from public funds for the direct benefit of any religious or other private educational institution. But he said that, ultimately what happened was House Bill 278 passed, and that statute that was 10 years ago, it was 2014, that has been perfectly legit. I think that what's happened is because so many people are utilizing it that the honestly, the NEA and the public schools are getting frightened that more and more kids are leaving the school. And I think that rather than attacking the good schools and the programs that are educating kids in a manner that is beneficial to those parents, the public schools should look at maybe improving their own delivery of services and see how that plays out rather than just attacking those schools that they're now litigating against. And so we'll see how it plays out. I mean, one of the things that's interesting is that there's a group outside called the Institute for Justice, and they've been involved in two very important cases in the last couple years. The Espinosa case in Montana was a successful case that they defended a school choice program, which basically held that a state does, if it's going to subsidize private education, which is what they do in Montana, then it cannot discriminate against a school solely because it's religious. And then 2 years later, they won the Institute for Justice, also won another landmark case before the nation's highest court, essentially establishing that Maine's exclusion of religious schools from its tuitioning program violated the Constitution. So they have a track record, and you know many people are saying, myself included, that this lawsuit that that Scott Kendall and funded by the NEA is going up against the correspondence program. This is likely to not be a good result from the Alaska Supreme Court, and so there's going to be possibly some kind of a federal side to it that brings it to the federal in federal jurisdiction, which would mean that it would might get up and have an opportunity to be before the U.S. Supreme Court, and you know whatever it takes. I guess you know if you haven't seen it already, I would go to it's ij.org, and that's the Institute for Justice. You'll see right up front the story that was just released yesterday: a group of parents defending Alaska's educational choice program from a lawsuit. And you know, there's so many schools that are out there that are going to be impacted if this, and families mainly, families and kids, if this program is taken away. But I love the quote from the Institute for Justice attorney on this story. Says Alaska's correspondence study program has produced massive educational benefits for Alaska's children. We're prepared to defend the rights of all Alaskans to get the educational services that best fit their unique needs. And then in counter to that, you hear Scott Kendall's approach, which is our position is that the statute collides with our Constitution in a real substantive way that can't really be mitigated. He believes that money, the quote that I thought was most interesting was from Tom Claymeyer. He's the president of NEA Alaska, which is supporting the lawsuit financially. And he says, we want to make sure all of the public money that is rightfully allocated to the public school system stays within the public school system in order to give our students the best chance to succeed possibly. Well, depending on how you define our students, Tom Claymeyer, I would say that they're not your students. They're the parents' students. They're their parents' kids, and they have the right to choose the educational opportunity that best fits their needs. And by the way, you also use other kinds of vendors as a public school, not just within the public school. So anyway, we're looking forward to talking with Bethany Markham at Alaska Policy Forum. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Jim Minery here on I'm Glad You Said That. Really happy to have my friend Bethany Markham from Alaska Policy Forum on the line. Bethany, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Of course. Thanks for having us, Jim. Excited to talk to you about this.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I've realized is firing up a lot of folks. We're talking about educational choice in Alaska and how it's under assault right now. And there's actually some national attention to it regarding folks stepping up to defend it. And I have a feeling there's going to be a whole lot of local support in terms of people who, once they find out what's going on, are going to step up. But before we get going, Bethany, just let folks know you're, of course, the executive over at Alaska Policy Forum, and it's such a valuable organization, part of the State Policy Network organization nationwide that protects freedoms and liberties. And we're blessed to have you in the state, but kind of give folks an idea of what your organization is, how long you've been with it, and that kind of thing.
Sure. So we're a nonprofit think tank, and we work on policy issues that try to produce more prosperity, more opportunity, freedom, and like you said, liberty for Alaskans. And so we do that at the state policy level. I've been there for over 5 years now, and we've been growing in that time. I was one part-time employee when I first came in, but now we're up to 4 to 5 full-time employees and a part-timer. And so we're growing in terms of the ability for us to influence and educate people on the policies that we care about, that we know are going to make Alaska a better place.
Well, it's so much needed right now. It seems like our freedoms, especially in this administration, the Biden administration, are doing everything they can to remove some of those freedoms. And one of them, of course, is school choice. I saw recently, actually, on your website, folks, you can go to alaskapolicyforum.org and sign up to get their newsletters and support them. They're just one of the good guys that really needs Alaskans to be come familiar with. But I was looking at the Heritage Foundation recent report, the Education Freedom Report Card for the United States in D.C., and Alaska ranked 45th, and it's in the bottom 10 states for having few education choices. Now, that's interesting in that you talk to some people and they say, well, we have a lot of school choice availabilities regarding this program that's under assault right now. The correspondence program, we can talk about that in a minute, but we've been talking about this for years now in terms of our results that the schools have produced in terms of tests and graduation and achievement and everything else. And this is just one more report lately that's come out that affirms that. I don't understand how the people down in Juneau can continue to advocate for bigger and bigger budgets when those bigger budgets really haven't done anything in terms of, how we're achieving economically or educationally in this state. So obviously school choice is something that can help to resolve that issue. But I also like to tell and remind people that, as far as I can tell, whenever there's more school choice in a particular state or community, the public schools actually improve as well. Do you see that same kind of backup?
Yes, that's absolutely the truth, that the academic studies that are out there are showing that when school choice, the ability for funds to follow the student to the type of schooling, the educational options of their choice, the parents' choice, when that's in place in a state, you start seeing the public schools improve in terms of they're needing to compete with either private schools or private vendors or other educational options. And so that is something that they're starting to see. We've had school choice programs around long enough that now they have a history that academics have been able to study. And you're absolutely right. That's what they are seeing. And of course, that would be the desire here too for Alaska. No one wants to shut down Alaska public schools. We want to see all children get the best education. And that means some children, that's going to mean public school for them. And we want to make sure those children in the public schools are getting as equally of good of education as the kids who are in private schools.
So diving in here with this case, the Scott Kendall seems like he has his hands in a lot of different things lately. And one of them is he's suing the state of Alaska for the statute that Senator at the time, Senator Dunleavy passed regarding this correspondence program. And so maybe give folks an idea of what this correspondence program is. What did Senator Dunleavy do in that bill? I think ultimately it was passed as a House bill. Why is it that this has gotten Scott Kendall and the NEA up in arms?
Well, you know, it's interesting that they decided to file suit against us now, because this bill was passed in 2014. So this is a statute that's been around for a while. There are hundreds of families that are and have been using it for years, and yet now they've decided that they believe that it's unconstitutional. Obviously, we don't believe that, and you know, the legislature did not pass a bill that was unconstitutional. They had you know, legislative legal do all the appropriate reviews as of the bills that they were working on whenever this was passed in 2014. But yeah, you're right. So correspondence schools are public homeschools, as some of your listeners may know. And so families in Alaska have the ability to enroll their child in a public school correspondence program. And they don't have to have one in their local community, because some of those are statewide. So you can live in a community that doesn't have a correspondence program and still enroll your child in a public correspondence program elsewhere in the state. And once you've done that, then you receive allotment funds, where you receive an allotment that you can use then to get reimbursed for funds that you've used to purchase educational materials, educational services, educational products for your child. So, you know, some families have the ability for one of the parents to fully homeschool the child. And that's wonderful for those families, but not everybody has that possibility. And so sometimes in order for a parent, a single parent, or a busy two-parent family to get that alternative education for their children, what they're going to have to do is put them in some private school classes, or put them with some tutors, or have them go to, you know, various third-party educational providers, as opposed to just sitting in a public school all day. They do want options, but they know they can't homeschool them all day, every day. And so what this program allows those parents to do is really design a curriculum that is best suited for their children. And it could be different for child A than for child B, right, depending on the child's needs. And so some of those funds could be used, some of those allotment funds could be used to purchase classes at private schools. And one of the big changes that was made in the program during the 2014 rule is the 2014 statute change was that those funds could be used to purchase classes at private religious schools, as long as the classes themselves were not religious classes. So if, for example, ABC religious school offered a Latin class, that's not a religious class, right? That's an academic class. Then a child who is enrolled in the public correspondence program could take a Latin class and have that reimbursed with their allotment funds, because it's not a religious class. So that's an example.
Well, I'm looking at the number of correspondence programs. Apparently there are you know, quite a few of them in the state. I happen to have a kid that attends one of them at Holy Rosary Academy, and the Institute for Justice is a national legal firm that has stepped up and decided to challenge this lawsuit. And they're representing at least one of the clients that I've seen that they are helping is from Holy Rosary Academy, because for some of these folks, it's one of the benefits of them being able to have this correspondence opportunity to be able to take classes at Holy Rosary and in other schools, because they're not in the public schools are not something that they feel are best for their kids. And I guess ultimately it's going to come down to the courts. I don't personally have a whole lot of confidence that the courts are going to rule in our way in terms of how they've ruled on all sorts of other issues. What's your view? I know you can't, you know, pull out a crystal ball, but do you see the courts ruling in favor of keeping this program in place?
Well, I will say that the Institute for Justice is a powerhouse on this issue. So they have won at the U.S. Supreme Court multiple times on school choice issues. No one really knows this issue as well as IJ does. And the fact that they're willing to come in here and represent these Alaska families, to stand up for Alaska's families, tells me that they think there is a pretty good constitutional case to be made here. You know, and they know, I'm sure they did their homework on what the Alaska court system looks like. And I don't think that they would be expending their time or their energy if they didn't think there was any chance of them prevailing. I don't think they would be, you know, bothering to put their resources into Alaska. They would just let this be an internal fight. The fact that they have come to support Alaskans tells me that that we have a possibility of making a difference with this.
Well, and I'm hearing, we can talk about it after the break a little bit more because we're coming up on our first break, but, you know, my doubt in the Alaska Supreme Court or Superior Court or wherever it ends up going would mean that we'd have to stop there. But it sounds like there's possibilities of making this federal, into federal court as well, because, you know, we've already seen two cases in the last year and a half, 2 years, the Espinosa case in Montana and the recent case in Maine that provided some clarity at the U.S. Supreme Court level. And this might be one other opportunity for that. We certainly have the ability to be positive and hopeful if it goes to the real high court in D.C., but I guess that's still to be determined as to whether or not they're even going to be able to pull off that strategy. But I want to get into a little bit more of the details here about some of the people who are going to be impacted by this, if in fact it does get overturned and ruled unconstitutional. Like I said, it looks like there's about 36 correspondence programs, and we'll go over some of those here after this first break, folks. We're talking with Bethany Markham at Alaska Policy Forum about the recent lawsuit that says that the Alaska statute allowing public funding to go to private schools is unconstitutional. So we'll be right back after this short break. Stick around.
When peace like a river,
hey, everybody, welcome back. Jim Minery here talking to my friend Bethany Markham at Alaska Policy Forum. We're chatting about this lawsuit that Scott Kendall and others, I guess it's the NEA, ultimately, right? It's a lawsuit that he's filed.
The NEA is funding the lawsuit. Yeah.
Oh, they're
the NEA
funding,
is funding
the lawsuit.
The lawsuit. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, they're not. They themselves aren't a party to it, but they fully admitted that they're the ones funding it.
Okay. And so what we're talking about here is a law that was passed back in 2014 by then Senator Dunleavy. To provide an opportunity for these folks that have different needs and that they could, you know, work the correspondence system to be able to provide homeschooling and supplement those some of their classes with private education that's going on, and even institutions that are typically known as religious, quote unquote, organizations, because they provide all sorts of instruction that's not just religious. Now, I know that there are some schools that implement or incorporate the faith component in every part of their curriculum, and I support that. I think that's an accurate representation of how, in many ways, you know, that religious instruction should occur, because it is a part of every part of your life or every asset or aspect of education. But there are some schools that are not teaching it that way. And so let's say ACS, I believe, is part of the correspondence program, Anchorage Christian Schools. They're now called Mountain City Church, or I think it's going to be called Mountain City Christian Academy. Anyway, so I'm looking at the list of correspondence schools, and it's really amazing. And I think that one of the things to realize is, you know, the study that I saw recently, I'm trying to think of where it was, but Alaska was leading the country in terms of how many kids have taken either full-time public or homeschooling or some kind of correspondence program since COVID, getting themselves out of public schools. And so there's this huge demand and involvement with everything from, you know, programs in Sitka to Northwest Arctic and tons in Anchorage and Nome and the Kenai Peninsula. It's all over the place. And I think what we're going to realize is, as this gets more oxygen, the story, this lawsuit, that you're going to find a lot of people saying, we're very happy with this program. It's helped us have the education experience that we want for our kids, because not every school serves the needs of every kid. It's just not the way it works. But the lawsuit is basically saying it's unconstitutional. And what is this guy? The guy that is the president of the NEA Alaska, the quote that I saw from him is, "We want to make sure all of the public money that is rightfully allocated to the public school system stays within the public school system in order to give our students the best chance to succeed possible." And I guess the way I look at that is, when he says our students, he sort of makes a blanket statement that it's about funding systems rather than students. And that's the way I look at this, is what is best for the student as opposed to the system. And the system that he's referring to, of course, is the public union supported public school system. And we all know that administrative costs have just exploded over the last decade or two, and yet teachers have kind of remained stagnant somewhat. In fact, I think there's some legislation now to increase teacher salaries federally, and I believe that's the case. They probably should get better salaries. I don't know exactly what that is now. I know that in Alaska it's probably better than a lot of states. So the question, I guess, is Tom Claymire, the president of NEA Alaska, doesn't believe that any public money should go to outside of the public school system. When this law was passed, like you said, the courts obviously had to, had an opportunity for the last 10 years to address this issue. Why now you think that they're doing this?
Well, we have started educating more families about this, and so more families are utilizing it, and it's been in the news. And quite frankly, I think it may have been whether or not it was flying under the radar and they didn't really know what was happening, or whether or not there just weren't enough people using it that they weren't concerned. I'm only speculating about what their timing might be on this. But a couple of points I want to make from what you said regarding Mr. Claymire's comments. So you stated that he was talking about the fact that the money needs to stay in the school system. And it's really an absurd idea, because you can't run a school system without paying vendors to provide educational services. I mean, they pay outside vendors for everything, right? I mean, you have to pay, they're not producing their own gasoline. They have to pay a private vendor to provide the gasoline, right? They have to pay a private vendor to provide the heating to the buildings. They have to pay a private vendor for the computers they purchase. And they right now pay private vendors for various educational services. Like, they don't provide all the tutoring themselves. The school district themselves provides funding for outside tutors. So the school districts know that they have to spend money outside the school district in order to provide the full realm of what's considered education. And it's no different to take that money and use that money for the families to pay it to the vendors that they have decided provide the best educational services for their children. The difference simply is that the concern, this is what I think. I think that what their concern is that it's going to religious schools, even though it's not going to religious classes. And the reality is that that's not what's unconstitutional. What would be unconstitutional under Alaska's Blaine Amendment is if it was paying for religious classes. And even that might be up for debate based upon a couple of recent U.S. Supreme Court decisions. Right. But the other thing that I think is important to keep in mind is talking about the number of students. Because, they're saying they want this funding to stay within the school system. Our students, you said, was the phrase that he used. Well, if all of those families are no longer able to participate in this program, and they take their kids, they keep their kids in the private schools or take them fully out, then those are no longer our students. And suddenly the public schools are going to lose the funding that they now get allocated for having those families in the correspondence programs. So I don't think that they're looking at the big picture of the fact that right now they do get to count those families as our students, but they won't be able to if they get their way with this lawsuit.
Well, one of the interesting things that at least is highlighted in the Alaska Beacon article, and we know that they're a Soros, George Soros funded publication, which is all over the country, and it recently popped up as a new newspaper, online newspaper in the state. So they're biased. But one of the things that got my attention was that Corey Mills, who's the assistant attorney general, who's written an opinion on this, has said, that it's legal sometimes to use public funds for private school classes through the correspondence allotment program. But she said that the more it looks like you're just trying to send your kid to a private school and get subsidized by the state, I think that's when you start getting to unconstitutional territory. And I think her other quote here is, at the heart of it, I really believe the framers were concerned with supplanting a public education with a private education, and that's where the worry is. That is different than just supporting or supplementing a public education with the use of some private school resources. And so, I guess I would say, at some point there is going to have to be some clarity where the people who are attending some of these schools and are attending the correspondence schools or private schools more so than the public school. In other words, it's that's their primary source of education. There may have to be some clarity and maybe a court ruling on the federal level. I don't see it happening on a state level, but there is kind of a line that's happening. There's going to have to be drawn a line to say, well, what, you can only take two classes, or is there a number, or it's a gray area, I guess. And I don't know, I do know that the courts will typically rule against any kind of school choice here in Alaska. So I'm not very confident that they're going to say, let the individuals decide, let the families decide, let the correspondence programs decide. They're going to try to limit the amount of ways that this correspondence course or program can be used. And is that something also that you're hearing, is that this can and might eventually go federally so that we can expect it not to be halted in its tracks by the Alaska Supreme Court?
Well, I am not a lawyer, so I can't speak regarding the details of the legal side of this, but I do have read the federal Supreme Court decisions that you mentioned, and in other states, what the U.S. Supreme Court has been willing to do is take a look at state programs and determine whether or not they violate the federal Constitution's free exercise provision. And again, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not saying whether or not ours does, but I don't think it would be beyond the purview of the U.S. Supreme Court to be willing to look at Alaska's program and to see if eliminating religious institutions from being able to participate in this program or limiting their participation in the program is violating the free exercise clause of those parents and families. And so I think that's an issue that will hopefully get resolved.
Well, folks, we're talking with Bethany Markham about this correspondence program. There's a lot of folks that are participating. It'd be interesting to see the numbers. I don't know if we have that access. It says that there's 37 different correspondence programs, but I don't know in terms of how many people. I can tell you that that Anchorage Christian Schools and Holy Rosary are two that I'm personally familiar with that are utilizing it, and it's been very beneficial. So we'll be right back after this short message, folks, here, and I'm glad you said that, with Bethany Markham.
When peace like a river
ascendeth. Hey guys, welcome back. Jim Minery here with Bethany Markham. And we're talking about a group of parents that are defending the Alaska Educational Choice Program from a lawsuit brought to you by Scott Kendall and his group that are very good lawyers. And so there's no doubt that that's gotten a lot of people's attention, because Kendall, of course, is the guy who brought us ranked choice and ended the Republican Party primaries and the dark money joke that really had nothing to do with dark money. In fact, there was more dark money behind the last couple campaigns since that law than almost any other time. It's just nuts. But he's very talented, and it certainly is a formidable opponent. And he's basically calling unconstitutional a law that was passed in 2014, allowing for kids to utilize correspondence schools to take to supplement their education by taking classes and courses at different private schools. And some kids are taking a few classes, some are only taking one. But the reality is that Scott Kendall and the NEA think it's unconstitutional. There is a group of outside of Alaska called the Institute for Justice, and they just released it yesterday that they're going to be supporting a group of Alaska families to defend the state's correspondence school program against this lawsuit. And the quote from the attorney that I love is, "Alaska's correspondence study program has produced massive educational benefits for Alaskan children. We're prepared to defend the right to Alaska families to get the educational services that the best fit their unique needs." And I'd love to ask that to the NEA president or to Scott Kendall Are you disagreeing that Alaska's correspondence study program has produced massive educational benefits for Alaska children? And they might say, no, yeah, that you can debate that or not. But these are the parents that are saying we're very satisfied with this. But they're just saying that, but not on our dime. And the part that really, you know, gets me miffed is that it's not their dime. It's my dime. Because we're paying taxes, and I currently don't have any kids in public schools that are indoctrinating them with all sorts of maddening curriculum and ideologies. And so I want my kids to go to a school that teaches them, you know, in my view, better in terms of the basics, reading, writing, and arithmetic, but they also teach them the way our public schools were at the beginning of the century when we led the nation or led the world in education. And now we're behind the rest of the world. Alaska's behind the rest of the United States, and yet we just want to continue to explode funding for it. It is maddening, but this is the beginning of something I think really good. I believe that they've awoken a lion, mama bears. I don't know how you want to describe it, but it sounds as though that you guys are going to be helpful in putting together, you know, a collaboration of groups to go public about this. There's going to be the legal side, but then there's also going to be the public education side. What's going on in that arena?
Sure. So, yeah, we're going to be launching a media campaign to help educate parents and families about the existence of this program and how they can utilize correspondence school allotment funds to be able to supplement the educational opportunities for their children. And so February 1st, we're going to be kicking off this campaign. And if you sign up to get information, we'll be sending a series of emails that have really all the details that you need. The campaign is timed with the lottery for the correspondence programs, because some of the correspondence programs are lotteried in the sense that you have to get selected to be in, but not all of them. And so if you don't get into a particular correspondence program, there are others that don't even use a lottery where you can just sign up and participate. There are extra seats in those correspondence programs right now, but we hope that won't be the case for long, that there'll be enough interest. So we're going to start educating families about the way that they can get their kids enrolled in the correspondence school allotment program and use those funds to do whatever they want to educationally that is the best fit for their kids. You know, it does have to be academic, and it has to get approved and so on. But in general, if it's going to help your child academically, and that's not just academics in terms of reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's music. That's taekwondo. You can use it to pay for your internet costs for your if you're taking any online classes at all. So you can use it for a wide variety of things, and we want to make sure families know about these options. And So starting in February, we're going to be putting out some media advertisements and such, letting people know how to do this. And I'll send you the link, Jim, that if you want to send out an email to your subscribers about signing up to get this information, we'd be happy to have that passed on.
Well, and we have a number of groups now. I mean, we mentioned Alaska Policy Forum, of course. So go to alaskapolicyforum.org and sign up for their newsletters and support them financially so they can continue doing this kind of work. We will, have school choice and parental rights as one of our key issues at Alaska Family Council, Alaska Family Action. Americans for Prosperity also has school choice as one of their key issues that they address, as does a bunch of groups across the state and country that have formed in lieu of some of the parental rights challenges and school challenges over the years. Parental rights in education is one. My guess is that we can put together, town halls across the state to not only discuss why we believe that this needs to be defended, but it actually has to be expanded because, the ultimate goal is the kids to have the best education that suits their needs. And I just don't it baffles me that there are so many groups out there that are opposed to kids having what is best for them. We just don't have a one-size-fits-all solution, and it's certainly not the public schools. I grew up in the public schools in Anchorage. I've honestly have thought for long and hard about how when I grew up, it used to be, you know, we had some of the best schools in the nation in Alaska. And something has changed. Something has shifted. It's not because of lack of funding. But I don't think that suing against parents and families that have really taken advantage of this is going to work out very well for Scott Kendall and the NEA. It's going to fire up a lot of people about what's really going on. And who knows where it ends up, you know, in the courts. But we have a lot of education to do in terms of people understanding that we have these options. I see my friends across the country that are almost getting to a voucher point where the money follows the kid no matter what. I believe fully that that's what needs to happen in every state, so that the money that that you have that is spent on taxpayers or on taxpayers' behalf to go to public schools should follow you wherever you go. I don't know if we're going to be able to get there necessarily through this lawsuit, but I think that this is going to be bringing us closer to that place. And, you know, so my hope, I guess, Bethany, would be that we could have some real hard discussions with the public schools and NEA, and who knows how that might play out, but to have a town hall, to have those hard discussions, because, you know, people are just as, you know, wanting to defend their decisions for their kids as the people who want to keep their kids in public school. I mean, we each have our rights, and I'm just baffled sometimes as to how diligent the side the left seems to be to prevent people from getting those choices. And are you seeing any, before we end here, are you seeing any progress in terms of scores in the public school arena in Alaska? I mean, the Heritage Report was not very good, but the trend seems to be continuing. Is that right?
Yeah, and it's, you know, I don't expect to see any changes anytime immediately because, you know, we did get a pretty significant piece of legislation passed earlier this year, but it's going to be 3 or 4 years before we even begin to see improvements there, because it takes a long time for that sort of thing to flow down through to the individual schools and start changing. The particular reading thing that I think you're referring to, where is one of them, where we're last in the nation, it's requiring retraining teachers on how to teach reading. So that's the sort of thing that takes a while. And so I do think it's gonna be a while before we start seeing some of the results. Unfortunately, that means some kids are going to be, you know, moving on through the system and not getting the benefits of that. We worked on that issue for 9 years, and we would have loved to have seen that passed 9 years ago. But the legislative process and then the bureaucratic process is unfortunately a political one. And as you know, that creates lots of obstacles. And we've had a lot of political challenges with these sorts of things in the last decade in Alaska. And so I'm hopeful that, you know, by going this litigation route that we're looking at now, that maybe we'll get some different and some quicker resolution on some of these important issues.
Well, thank you so much, Bethany. We're just so grateful to have you guys just on the tip of the spear on this issue and many others. Folks, go to alaskapolicyforum.org to learn more. I'll be sending out some stuff through Alaska Family Council. And just keep up the good work, Bethany. I'm looking forward to linking arms and standing side by side to make sure that this not only is defended, but that it grows in the state of Alaska. So blessings to you and your work and all that you do. You're a serious community asset in the great land.
Well, and I feel the same, Jim. So thank you for the opportunity to speak to your listeners today.
All right. God bless. We'll be in touch. Thanks, folks. Stick around next week for I'm Glad You Said That. We'll see you.